Today's shiur is Masech Techul on Daf Tzadik Zayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Tzadik Vav Amid Beis at the Gemara, four lines from the bottom of the Amid. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had taught us that if one cooks the granasha in the yerech, in the thigh of the meat that the granasha was part of, we have now to be concerned about the taste of the granasha that is being that is going into that piece of meat. And the Gemara gave us the various formulas how to know if that piece of meat, if the Giranosha still is giving tam, and therefore will affect the kashrus of that piece of meat, or we don't need to be concerned. It tells us the Gemara, Amar Shmuel Lo Shor. Says Shmuel, this halacha that we just learned in the Mishnah was only Nishbashel Ba, that the Gid was cooked in the Yerech. Aval Nitzlaba, if they were roasted together, or that's necessary, says the Gemara, is Kailif, just to scrape off the outside layer of the meat where the Gid HaNosha gave tam, and you could eat it. V'oichel, and you could continue eating the Gid HaNosha, that piece of meat, at Shemegil Gid, until you get to the actual Gid, because we don't have to be concerned since it was roasted, not cooked. We need less to be concerned about the Giranosha tam going into that meat. To which the Gemara says, Amar Eini, ask the Gemara, is that true? Ask the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna Gedi She Tzala Bechelboi. If one roasted his gedi, his goat, with the chalev in it, asa lachol, we may not eat any of that. We may not eat any of the goat, afil merish oznoi, because we're concerned that the halacha says that the chalev, the taste of the chalev, spreads to the entire animal. So we see from here that the halacha is that that even by roasting, there's a concern that the non-kosher taste, the non-kosher tam, spreads. Of course, the Ritva points out that the Gemara began with a statement made by Shmuel. And this is a statement made by Rav Hununa. So maybe Rav Huna doesn't agree with Shmuel. So the Ritva explains that Rav Huna was a Talmud of Shmuel. And therefore, the Ritva suggests it's difficult to assume that Rav Huna was disagreeing with Shmuel. So the Gemara's question is, Shmuel said we take a lenient approach by roasting. And here we're seeing that we don't take a lenient approach by roasting. So as we're learning, Shmuel's opinion is that Koylef Vaychel, that Shmuel's opinion is that since it was only through Tzliya, it didn't penetrate that much. But what we need to, of course, understand is what does that mean by Bishul, the Gemara is teaching us, and we'll continue discussing that, that it goes throughout. The question is, what will be the halach? What does this mean? So Tosis and Rosh say they have to take off a Kedei Netila. You have to take off from where the thing is usher, if it's only roasting, the shear of a etzba. The Rashba's opinion is that enough to do is klifa. And he says that's really what the Gemara says. Kailuf v'oichel. That means just take off the outer layer. The Rambam is even more lenient. And those are different approaches. And what the Gemara is asking is that we see that by roasting the animal where the chalev wasn't removed, that not only are we concerned for the tam, but the way the Rishonim help us understand the Gemara is that it goes all the way to the ear of the nose, to the ears. And what the Gemara really also means to say is that the animal might be upside down. And if the animal is upside down, and of course, because of gravity, whatever is spreading downwards, and it's not spreading upwards in the direction of the ear. The halacha still tells us that we have to be machmer. The halacha says we have to be concerned of the tam going throughout. Answers the Gemara, it's not a raya to what we're discussing. Because here we're talking about chalev, we're talking about fat. And shani chalev, the mefapeya. The chalev and the gid, Shmuel was speaking about gid. So gid doesn't have the tendency to spread. Whereas chalev, which is fatter, something's dove shamein, therefore, even though it just was roasted, it has the tendency of spreading. So now the question is, how to understand this Gemara? Most Rishonim explained the Gemara that if something not kosher was roasted together with something kosher, we use this in both directions. Because what that means to say is that as we're learning the Gemara now, and we're learning now that because it's chalev, it's mefapeya. So the question is, and that's going to be a very important part of our shiurim now, is we have the iser, we know what's usser, but we also have the heter. For example, the example that we're learning now, we have a goat, and we have the chalev, and we have the rest of the animal. The chalev is usser, the rest of the animal is mutter. And the question, of course, that must be considered is what's considered mutter. If we're saying that the chalev spreads throughout the entire animal, what that also means to say is that the entire animal, which is not problematic, which is obviously kosher, is included in the heter element, and if we have shishim in the element versus the chalev, we're going to be allowed to eat this animal. You know, if we're going to say that there's a concept of mefapeya, that it spreads, so we use it both lechumra, that it spreads throughout the animal, but we also use it lekula, that if it will have shishim. That's the opinion of most Rishonim. The Rashba says that if we can't be sure. In other words, the Rashba's opinion is that even though the Gemara now is teaching us there's a concept of mefapeya, that it spreads, that's only used by lechumra. It's not used lekula. Therefore, we can't be so quick to say that there was pipua throughout, and therefore we could use the entire animal to make this determination. Ask the Gemara, ubechelev asur, is that true? That was saying now, that the chalev spreads throughout the animal. If that's the case, before we go further, Tosfos asks that Shmuel was speaking about a gid that was roasted in the Yerach. But we know, as we've been learning in our shiurim, that the gid has fat around it. We spoke about the shuman agid. So the question is, the Gemara said, we can't bring a raya from the case where we spoke about chalev, because chalev, being that it's so fat, it spreads. But now the question is, does the shuman agid? So why is the gid any different than the chalev? So Rabbeinu Tam answers that there's a very big difference between a piece of chalev and gid. A gid is not primarily fat. There might be some fat there, but it's not specifically fat. Since it's not specifically just fat, so therefore it's not the same as the case of Fumnuna spoke about where it was pure chalev. Another terrorist that Rishonim suggests, when we spoke about the shuman agid, the shuman agid is only osam adrabanan. When Rav Huna took this strict approach, he was talking about real chalev. Real chalev, we have to be machmer that it spreads throughout the animal. But a shuman agid, which is only osam adrabanan, we could be more lenient. But ask the Gemara. But now we're saying that be chalev, we have to be machmer. Asking Rabbi Chalev Asur for Amar Rabbi Babachano of the Havakameh de Rabbi Yochanan, there was once an issue by Rabbi Yochanan beknishta de Ma'ayin. It was in the knishta of Ma'ayin, says the Gemara, begedi shetzal b'chalbay, where it was gedi that was roasted in its chalif. Vasa shaylu le Rabbi Yochanan, and the question was kaim to Rabbi Yochanan if you're allowed to eat the rest of the animal or not. He said, just cut away the place where there was the chalif, and we don't need to consider the rest of the animal. Answers the Gemara, you can't bring a raya from that story, because ahu kachoshava. There was the type of chalif that was not very fatty, and therefore, if it's not very fatty, it doesn't spread all over. And therefore, the Paiskim say that our Gemara is teaching us that there's a difference between something which is fatty, greasy, which spreads, versus something not fattest. Now, the Paiskim make a very important point. In the Gemara that we're learning now, when we speak about something being fatty, the focus is on the chalif. The chalif is what we're saying is considered, which is the Dover Osler, is considered something fatty and therefore has more of a propensity to spread. What would be the halacha vice versa? That the Dover Isser is not something which is fatty, is not something which is shamein, but it's spreading into something which is shamein. Is that going to be the same? And the Paiskim say it doesn't make a difference what is the thing that's shamein, whether it's the Isser that's shamein, or whether it's the heter that's shamein. What the Gemara here means to teach us is that whenever we have a situation of something which is shamein, we're going to have to be concerned. The Shulchan Aruch indeed paskins like what we just learned in the Gemara, that there's a difference between something which is shamein, and here we say that the Isser spreads throughout, but something like the Gemara just called the Dover Kochush doesn't spread throughout, and therefore in such a circumstance we would only need today in the Tila. But it's very important to point out that the Ramah, when the Ramah Paskin speaks about this, the Ramah says that Hayoim ain on a Bekiim ben Kochush l'shamin. We don't know how to differentiate between something which is kochish and shuman, and therefore always do we have to treat anything that's iser as something which is shamin. Rav Huna bar Yehuda gives a different teretz. Rav Huna bar Yehuda says that the case where they were not concerned that it spread was a case of kulya b'chal b'hava, where there was a kidney that was roasted together with the chalev on top of it, and visharia, and he made it, and there was mutter. Because, as we've learned, there is a membrane between the fat of the chalev and the chalev, and that membrane protects that the chalev should not penetrate all the way into the kidney. However, Tosfos does point out that if you have a situation like the Gemara just described, where the kid was roasted together with its chalif, and you had the crumb, you had the membrane there, you should take off the klifa, you should take off kidei klipa of the kidney. Moreover, Tosfos asks, we've been speaking often about the lubin hakilya. And the lubin hakilya, the white part that's on top of the kidney, is chalif. And why should that not cause that every time we eat a kidney, those that eat kidneys should be concerned about that chalif penetrating? Taisha says that chalif is only awesome with Rabbanim. And as we've been learning throughout our shir, when we're speaking about a situation of chalif de Rabbanim, There is more reasoning to be lenient. Rav Barav Adama, a third teretz. Rav Barav Adama bekilchus ba'alfasava. Here we're speaking about fish that were non-kosher fish that were cooked together. The difference opinion, most Rishonim say, was cooked together with meat. And also shayla le Rabbi Yochanan. And this question was posed to Rabbi Yochanan. V'amlu l'tamei k'fei l'ramo. When you have a situation where you don't know if the taste penetrated, what we should do is ask an expert to determine if the taste penetrated. The Ritva says that there's no machloikas here, and that the Ritva's opinion is that when Rav Bashva gives this teretz, is that part, that this is a different teretz, he's not disagreeing with the other terutzim. So there's two ways of learning the Gemara. Some say that this non-kosher fish was cooked together with kosher fish, and the question is about time from the kosher fish into the non-kosher fish, from the non-kosher fish or into the kosher fish. And some say that it was cooked together with meat, which of course opens up a very interesting discussion. We, the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideya, Simon Kuf Tezayin Sif Beis Paskins, Tzorach Lizar Shalalach Al Bas V'Dag B'Yachad, one should be most careful not to eat fish and meat together. Mnesha Kosher L'Tzaras. And not only that, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, there's a rule of Chamir Sakanta Misura, that the Halach is more concerned about Sakana than Isser. So what is the discussion here about Tam? Why shouldn't it be a concern of Taruvis, a Basar V'dogim? So the Paiskim take a number of approaches to answer this question. One approach that they take is that, indeed, one should not rely on shishim when you have fish and meat cooked together. One should not, of course, cook fish and meat together. What happened over here was that they were cooked together. And b'dieved, now the question is, can we rely on the fact that it was shishim? Which, as we've discussed in previous shurim, is actually the subject of a discussion. We know, and that's really the sugya that we're learning in our shiur today, of shishim, began with our Mishnah in the previous shiur, but do we say shishim, do we say bittul b'shishim by Dovah Sakonam? And those mefarshim, it's really the opinion of the Magen Avraham, are of the opinion that we say shishim even by something, we say shishim even by something like what we're discussing here, by fish and meat as well. Others have a very interesting approach, that indeed, as we've just been saying, and we know, the halacha is strict about mixing fish and meat. But where is the halacha strict about mixing fish and meat? That's by kosher fish. But here, as we have been explaining, we're speaking about non-kosher fish. And the sakana of mixing fish and meat only applies by kosher fish, not by non-kosher meat. Not by non-kosher fish, which this was the case here. So the Gemara said that what he said was, that what Rabbi Bashva said, the right, Rabbi Barav Ada said, what is the right thing to do? To have a kfeila amor tasted. Kfeila amor is somebody who is a non-Jewish cook. And there's many big machloikas rishonim, how we understand this halacha. Rashi says, because he's mesich lefi tumay. When we ask this person to taste it, he should not know why we are asking him to taste it. And since he doesn't know why we're asking him to taste it, he's going to give us an honest opinion. So in other words, according to Rashi, a critical element in paskening the shaila is the fact that this person is mesich lefi tumay. Tosfos and the Rashba say that the reason he's believed is because he's an expert. And because he's an expert, experts are worried about their reputation. And because they're worried about their reputation, they're not going to say something which is not true. And specifically, in a case that he can be caught, because afterwards we'll taste it, we'll eat it, based on what he says. And it may turn out that it does not have the taste that it has. The Rashba takes a combination of Rashi and Tosfos's opinion. And the Rashba says that we have to have an expert, because only an expert could truly be the one that could be trusted, and he's going to be concerned about his reputation. and he also has to be a kfila amah. So that means, according to Rashba, he has to be both an expert and be mesich lefi tumay. The Rambam is the most lenient approach, and the Rambam's opinion is that we could rely on anybody. Doesn't have to be a expert, even though the Gemara keeps on using the word kfela, which seems to mean a chef, an expert. The halacha is, the Rambam says that anybody who tastes it is going to be, any person who tastes it can be relied on. And moreover, the Rambam doesn't need to have mesich lefitumai. Anybody tasting it, and even if they know why they're being asked to taste it, we can trust. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rashi. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you have to have a nochri, doesn't speak about an expert, but mesich lefitumai. The Shach's opinion is that we could take either approach, whether the approach of Rashi, that should be a nochri, any nochri, as long as mesich lefitumai, and or a expert, and then he doesn't have to be mesich lefitumai. But now many Rishonim ask the question, Rashi saying that all we need is to have somebody who is a mesich lefitumai. But the Rishonim ask that the Gemara Masechta Baba Kama teaches us that the only time that in the Kuf Yodalid, the only time we're ready to rely on a mesich lefitumai is by a case where a woman's husband is missing, which we know throughout Shas there's a concept of Meshemiguna Kila Barabanan. Chazal were particularly lenient in those types of issues. But normally, we don't just rely on a mesich lefitumai. Why over here can we? Says, so the member of answers to this question. Trumas Hadeshin, the answer is, because the question, which is the fundamental question in understanding these Gemaras, is the question of Tam Kikker. If you have taste spreading, how does the halacha look at taste spreading? And Trumas Hadeshin wants to suggest that Mi'ikar Adim, Tam Kikker is not Midaraisa. Midaraisa, we don't have to be worried about the taste spreading. Since Midaraisa, we don't have to be concerned about taste spreading. That's why over here we can rely on Mesich Lefutumai. The Shach says the reason over here we're more lenient, very simple answer, because ultimately the truth will come out when we eat and taste this food. And in the case where we're going to know the truth, ultimately we could be lenient on a Mesich Lefutumai. The Shach gives another teretz. There's a difference between something that has a cheskas iser or not. And Shach therefore says that when is a nochri not believed mesich lefitumai by a cheskas iser, except by the case of the married woman, that even though she has a cheskas ish, we are lenient. But here, this meat doesn't necessarily have a cheskas iser. The Taz gives another answer. He says, when do we not rely on a mesich lefitumai? Is only in a case where edus is required. And says the Taz that edus cannot take, that mesich lefitumai cannot be a substitute for edus. Here there's no the halacha doesn't require edus. If the halacha over here doesn't require edus, we could rely on mesich lefitumai. The Plessy gives a different answer, which has very serious halachic ramifications past this Gemara. And that is, the Plessy's opinion is that tima, just tasting something, might be mutter even for Yisrael. Eating, of course, is usher for something that we may not eat. But tima, just tasting, might be mutter. If that's the case, that in the case of Te'ima, we have a right to be lenient. For that's why even if technically Yisrael could do it, we could rely on Akum. The Mechaber in Simon Tzadiches, Sif Aleph, Paskins like the Rambam, and that he relies, that he says we could always rely on a Kfela. And not only can we rely on a Kfela, even in a case where we don't have shishim, but as long as we have a kvela telling us that the taste did not spread, that is adequate according to the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah disagrees. And the Ramah says, Ein anu soimach matimus goy, we don't rely on the tasting, v'tamid b'sharim b'shishim. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains that what is the basis of the opinion of the Ramah. Rabbi Akiva Eiger explains that the way to understand the Gemara is not that the Gemara means to say that a kfela could be used instead of shishim, but rather to say that a kfela, it could be used where we can't determine if there was shishim. But in a case where we could determine that there's shishim, the halacha says we should always require shishim and not just rely on a kfela. It's interesting to point out that I saw there was a great Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. It was called the Teflka Rav, Rav Shimon Aaron Polinsky. And if a question would come to him, he would say, let the Sfardi, such type of question, he would sometimes suggest that let a Sfardi taste it, because according to the Shulchan Aruch, that is sufficient. And once the Sfardi will tell us that there's no problem of taste, then the Ashkenazi will be able to use it, but to eat it. But I did see that there are many Sfardish Rabbonim, Rabbi Yehuda Tzadka, Rabbi Tzion Abishol Zatzal, that said that even by the Sfardim, the minig nowadays is that we don't rely on the kfela, and that we follow the opinion of the Ramah, you have to have shishim. It says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Meresh Avakakashali, before I heard this answer, I had the question, Hada Tanya, the Braisa speaks about a case of Kederish Abishab Basor, a pat that was used to cook meat, Lo Yivasho by Cholov. You should use milk for it. Vimbisho, and if you did cook milk in your meat pat, the loch has been nice and tam. The loch is that we have to have nois and tam. Truma, similarly, a pot that was used to cook truma, lo yivasho by chulim. You're not allowed to cook chulim in it, because the pot absorbed the tam of the chulim, of the truma, and therefore, when you're going to use the pot again, the tam of the truma is going to go into the chulim. And of course, as the Mefarshim will point out, this is halacha that applies to regular Yisrael. A kohen would be allowed to use the pat, because a kohen has no problem of eating truma. Vimbishel, and if one used a fleshig of a pat to cook milk, if one used a truma pat to cook chulin, the halach is we use nois and tam. So says the Gemara. In the case of truma, as we just explained, it isn't a difficult thing to determine. Bishlama truma, when we speak truma, that we had a pattern in which truma was cooked, and now we don't know what is going to be the status of the chulin that was cooked in that pat. The term like kayin, because a kayin can eat chulin, and a kayin can eat truma, so let him do that tasting. Ava basa b'cholav, if we have a case of basa b'cholav, and we have the milchig, the dairy that was cooked in the feshik pat, man tomalei, says the Gemara, but now, he says, that we have determined that we can rely on kfeil amor. So here, when we have the pat, the meat pat with the dairy, says the Gemara, samchinen al kfeil amor, we can rely on this expert. And here too, we're going to have to apply the various opinions that we learned. The halacha, the Rishonim already debate if one could cook dairy in a meat pot that wasn't used for 24 hours. So most of the Rishonim are of the opinion that even though we are going to learn that after something is in a pot, any after tam is in a keli 24 hours, the tam becomes pogum, it becomes bad, foul tasting, we still can't rely on that l'chatchila.
We can't rely, we can't cook in a pot that's not ben yoyma, even though, because there was a gzera chazal made, that if we're going to cook a pot that's ain't a ben yoyma, we may cook in a pot that's a ben yoyma. The Ra'ah disagrees. He says that one may. And the Ritva says that our Gemara is a raya. Because our Gemara says that when you have the meat pot and you cook dairy in it, we have to taste it. Now let's think about it, says the Ritva. If that pot was not used for 24 hours, so of course it's not going to have a good taste. It's a tampogum. So we see from here that after 24 hours, there's nothing to talk about. Here we're talking about strictly when it was 24 hours. And therefore, now we want to determine how to treat that food. The Ritva disagrees. And the Ritva says what the Gemara means to say is that of course you can never use a meat pot for dairy. You can never use a meat pot for dairy. The entire discussion of our Gemara is b'dieved, where the meat, the dairy was cooked in the meat, and now that the dairy was cooked in the meat, we need to determine what should we do. Rabbi Kiveka asks why it seems in our Gemara that if we have a truma pot, and now we need to determine if the truma gave taste to chulin, we could rely on this taste test. But why should we not be allowed to use that? But really, we shouldn't use that pot. Ask Rabbi Kiveka, as we've been learning, why can't you l'chatchila use the pot as a kohen could use it? Says Rabbi Kiveka, there's a different concern. That if this pot has bleis of truma, and we're going to put chulin into it, what we do, and it's going, and the truma is going to become bottle. So what we did was we were mevatel truma, and he says there's an iser to be mevatel truma. Truma should be left in its status of truma, and that we have no right to cause that truma should lose its status of truma. And by cooking in this pot that is a truma pot, chulin, and if it will be shishim, what that really means is that we're taking away the status of truma from that pot, which is something that the halacha doesn't want us to do. And therefore, the way to understand this Gemara, as we've been learning a moment ago about a meat pot as well, is that one l'chatchila should not cook chulin in a truma pot, because you may end up being mevatel the truma. Now the question is, if it happened, what does the halacha tell us to do under those circumstances? Says the Gemara, Amar Rava. Rava teaches us, Amar Rabbanan B'tama. Sometimes Chazal said that the way we make a determination is based on tam. V'amar Rabbanan B'kfeila. And sometimes Chazal said to make a taste, to make the determination through a expert. And Amar Rabbanan, and sometimes the way to make the determination when we have this type of a mixture is relying on shishim. Says the Gemara, Helkach, b'she'ena minoy, when we have a mixture, a min b'she'ena minoy, that it's easy to determine the taste, b'teira, that means if you have a pot in which you cooked one type of food of truma, and then you cooked wheat of truma in that pot, and then you cooked beans of chulin in that pot, both of them chulin, both of them may be eaten by a kohen, but we, a zor, may not eat it in case it tastes like truma. What we should do is betama. There's no problem for a kohen to eat, as we've been explaining, to eat food from this pot, and we'll have the kohen eat that, taste it, and see. In a case of isura, that means that, as we spoke a few moments ago, where we have meat and milk mixed together. So, of course, a Yisrael should not be eating that food because it might be basa b'chalav. So, as we said before, we have a kfela. We have the expert, the non-Jewish expert, with the various explanations we gave, tasted. Mechlokes Rishonim. In a case, min b'minoi, the halacha, when we have two things that are the same, but they're the lekala make a matama, we can't rely on taste because they both are the same. E nami min b'she'en amina di sura, or Yamim B'mina B'surah in a place with Lek Kfela, we don't have the option of asking an expert, then halacha will be of Shishim. So there's, again, many different opinions in the Rishonim how to view this Gemara. Rashi's opinion, and Rashi is the most machmer, that we always need Shishim. If we don't have, if there isn't Shishim, it's Asur. And therefore, even if a Kfela will taste it and tell us that there's no taste, the halacha still requires that we have Shishim to Mivatl. When does our Gemara, therefore, the obvious question is, so why is our Gemara speaking about a Kfela? Says Rashi, that's a Chumrah. Rashi is saying that even in a case where we have Shishim, we still have to have the taste test. And therefore, even if we add Shishim but you still feel the taste, it's also. Tosfos says the opposite. Tosfos says that a Kfela is always going to work. So even if you don't have Shishim but you have a Kfela, that will be sufficient. The opinion of the Ramban and the Rashba is that even when you don't have Shishim, we can rely on a Kfela. That's only where Tam got mixed up. In other words, we could have two types of situations. We could have a situation where you have something actual non-kosher fall in, some milk fall into your pot of meat, or you could have the Tam, the pot, the fleshiger pot with the dairy. So they differentiate between Tam, when it's only Tam, their halacha is we could rely on Kfela. When we have actual Isser that fell in, then we have to have Shishim. The opinion of the Rambam is that by Min B'she'ena Minai, you always should rely on a Kfela, and doesn't make a difference if there's Shishim or not. And in a case where you have more than but you can't rely, according to the Rambam, it seems, on Shishim alone. The Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tzadichesif Aleph Paskins, Isheshin is Arba Heter, Min B'Sheneminoi, when Isser and Heter get mixed up, Min B'Sheneminoi, you Temenu Nochri, and Nochri should taste it. V'mein Shom, Oiv Dekham L'Tamai, if there is no Nochri to taste it, B'Sharina B'Shishim, then we do Shishim. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that when, like the Rambam says, the Shach, that when we have a Kfela, when we have an expert, that's the way always to go. And only in other circumstances that is the halacha that we could go to Shishim. The Gra actually suggests that the Rambam, that the Shulchan Aruch passage is like Tosfos and the Rosh, and that the Shulchan Aruch is giving us an option. Either Kfela or Shishim. As I said before, the Ramah's opinion is that we don't rely on a Nachri Bismanazah under any circumstances. Regarding what will the Ramah hold, as we said, we just gave an example. Sometimes we need not rely on the team of a Nachri. We could do a team of Yisrael, the case of a Kayin. What will the Ramah hold? By if you could have a Yisrael do the Tima, the Levush says that the Ramah's opinion is that we can't rely on Tima of Zmanazah. We cannot be confident that our taste test will work, and therefore even Tima Yisrael won't work. The Shach disagrees. He says that even though we don't rely on Tima's Akum, we do rely on Timus Yisrael. But the Shach does agree that even he who is lenient with Timus Yisrael, it's only something that b'dievid. What we really should have is Shishim. But if in a case where Shishim is, we can't make that determination, so that's where the Shach says that the Ramah will agree that we could rely on a Timus Yisrael. We keep on using the number Shishim, and the word which is Samach, the letter Samach, But the way you spell out the word samach is samach mem ches. And I saw that the Sefer Degel Machne Yehuda says that samach mem ches stands for slicha mechila kapara. What we're learning from here is that all the avera, kol yisurin shebetayra, all averas in the Torah, when one does what he's supposed to do, does proper tshuva, then they become bottle b'shishim. They become bottle with samach b'mem ches. And we end up with a slicha mechila in kapara. Says the Gemara, Hana masa de melicha b'resh glusa b'gida nashaya. There were pieces of meat that were salted together with the gida nashim. Ravina Osor, Ravina said you may not eat those pieces of meat because they absorb from the Gidah Nosha. Rav Acha Barav
said that
Shari we may. Says my Osor Shailalei L'Mabar Rav Ashi. The question was posed to Mabar Rav Ashi, Amalhu, and he told him, Abba Shari, my father said it's Mutter. Amalhu Rav Acha Barav, my datach, why would you say that they may not be eaten? Because Shmuel has taught us, Meliach, if something was salted together, the halacha is that it's like it was cooked. Meliach harei kuseach. Kavish, if something was left together in vinegar or in spices, harei kavushal. And therefore, they have the same halacha as if they were, they have the same halacha as if they were cooked together. But ask the Gemara of Amar Shmuel, lo yishana al shegidnas bashalba. When do we say that the gid that was cooked with the yerech, we may not eat it if they were cooked together? Avam nitzlaba, if they were roasted together, koil v'eichel atshebegiyah levad. That they were just, as we learned earlier, klif is enough. But v'teim in my kar v'tekom kar yaseich, the mevushal, and therefore this is more than tzliya, but tzliya would be lenient. Here we can't be. That's the asking of Rav Admi to come a kavush reikum mevushal. When it says mevushal, so it's not like mechlal. Doesn't that mean that meleich is kriseich the tzlikamer? If it's in the same category of tzli, so just like when they were roast together, we started the shear. We could be lenient here too. When they were salted together, dalach ought to take a lenient approach. Why are you saying it's Asur? Ask the Gemara Kasha. That is indeed a question. Why, if they were salted, why were they salted together, do we have to take such a strict approach? But I saw that we know there's a rule in Shas. When a question is asked, there's a difference if the question is a there's a question if it's a if the Gemara remains with a kasha, or the Gemara says tiyufta. Here the Gemara uses the word kasha, which is an indication that it's a kasha that has an answer. And what is the answer that one could possibly suggest? The answer is that we spoke earlier in the shir that the gid anosha doesn't just have the gid anosha. The gid anosha has the shumna shel gid. It has the fat. And because, as we also learned at the beginning of our shir, when we speak about something that's greasy, there is a greater level of pipua, a greater level of things spreading. And that's why, even though it was only meliach, and the Gemara now is suggesting that by meliach we could be more lenient, but if it's meliach on something which is fatty, the shum neshel good, that's where we're going to have to be machmer. Says the Gemara, when we make, says the Gemara, this evaluation, when the halacha tells us to make an evaluation, misharim beroitif. So the question is, if something iser fell into the pot, and we need to make a determination if we have shishim, so what is taken into consideration? Says the Gemara, because misharim, when we make this evaluation, misharim beroitif, the gravy that's attached to this food, the kippah, small pieces of meat and spices that are in the pot, b'chatichas, and obviously with the kosher pieces of meat and b'kadera, and we the pot itself. All of that is taken into consideration to see if we have shishim. Says the Gemara, Ikadeh Amri, says the Gemara, when we speak about the pat, what does that mean? So some say kedere atzma, the entire pat, the entire thickness of the pat is taken into consideration. Ikadamri, but there's another version that when we talk about the pat, when the Gemara talks about the pat, we talk about my debala kedera, whatever bleis there are in the pat, whatever absorption there is in the pat, not the pat itself. In other words, the way Rashi explains the Gemara, that if something non-kosher fell into your pat, and if there's that, and now we have to make a determination, what if we have shishim, and the machlokes in the Gemara is, do we look at the entire thickness of the wall, or do we just look at the bliya in the wall to make that determination? Says the Gemara, Amar Ravu, Amar Biyachin, Kol Isurin Shabbatayra. Whenever we talk about something that's Asur, and Misharinen, the way we make the determination, we look at them, Kila Batzel V'Klaflet, that they're onions or turnips, and we make a determination. If onions or turnips fell into this pat, fell into a pat, when would their time go away? And the way Rashi and Tosfos explain this Gemara is what the Gemara means to teach us here is, where did the number Shishim come from? Where did the number Shishim come from? Because this is the way we came to that number, because of, we know that when these ingredients fall into a food, with Shishim they will be bottled. Amalei Rav Abba L'Abaya, L'shirinim b'paplum v'tavlim nafil b'f elef b'tlebetelim. Why are we using those vegetables? Why don't we use sharper vegetables, pepper and other sharp, that 60 won't be mevatel them. Amalei, says the Gemara, Cheshira Chachamim, Chazal taught us, Daloche is, Teinash Tam Bissum Yetzvah Batzvah Klaft, that under normal circumstances, Shishim is going to be the way that something usher, the taste will no longer be there. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Gid, if we have a Gid Anosha, that got mixed up with other gidim, the way to determine what the aloch is b'shishim. If we have 60 times the gid, we could be lenient. Then gid min aminyan. But when we make this determination, we have to have 60 times the actual gid. But now the Gemara begins to speak about the kchal. The kchal is the udder of the animal where is milk gathered. The aloch is, as we're going to learn, that if one wants to eat the kchal meat, what he should do is remove all the milk out of the kchal. Because we're not going to remove all of the milk from the kchal. When we're going to cut, when we will cook the kchal, then the milk, the taste of the milk will go into the kchal. And therefore, the halacha is that one should cut the kchal. The Rashi's opinion that we're going to be speaking about kchal is only speaking about roasting in a kchal. But if you're going to cook in a kchal, there's a problem if the milk is still left, then it will always be asur. So says the Gemara, when we have milk in the kchal and we're roasting it together or cooking it together, b'shishim, we have to make sure that you have 60 times the amount of milk. V'chal min aminyan. Says the Gemara further, Beya, if a non-kosher egg got mixed up with kosher eggs, the shear is shishim, v'ein beya min aminyan, and we can't count the beya. And the Gemara is going to now delve into these halachas. Amar Yitzchak Breder Meshashi, k'chal atzma, even after you cook the chal is osur, because we have to be concerned that some milk went into some cracks in the chal. The nafalik deir cheris, and therefore if this chal that we always consider non-kosher because of the milk in the meat, if that whole chal fell into another pot, that would make the other food osur. Aravash kevin bayukari, boilon, kimisharinen. If we count, if there's 60 connected the chal, but the day misharinen, when we make this determination that we need to have when the chal that we just discussed fell into another pat, do we need to have 60 times the chal, or do we have to have 60 times the milk in the chal? Answer the Gemara. The b'shita d'aloch is clearly b'didei mishurinen. We look at the actual chal. For course, says the Gemara, b'ibad m'ofik m'nei, if we want to make determination about amount of milk, m'na yudinen, we don't know. El me'ato, ask the Gemara, if we're looking at the whole chal, so why will be d'alocha chal l'gdei racheres, v'nofil l'gdei racheres, if the chal fell into another path? Lo ya'asur, because even if there isn't 60, it should make a problem if there was 60 at the first time. Says the Gemara, Kivin Damar Rav Yitzchak Debrayim Shashik Chal Atzma Atzma. Says the Gemara that even the Chal, if it didn't have Shisha, becomes Osir. Says the Gemara, Shavu Rabbi Chatich and Nevela, Chazal should become treated that it's a piece of Nevela. In other words, we just don't look at the milk in the Chal. We look at the chal, and therefore the chal becomes like a piece of nevela, and we have to have 60 times the chal, the actual size of the chal.